T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're asking you today, are Caleb Williams and the Bears, is this going to work? Are we sure this is going to work? This is just going to go as smoothly as we all predict that Caleb goes to the Bears and this is just a match made in heaven? We're holding hands, skipping through the dewy meadow, Perloff. I know you think so.
Well, I think the Bears are super lucky that they get to draft this guy. I mean, this really couldn't have worked out. It's going to go down. It's one of the great trades of all time last year with the Panthers, that they fell into this pick. It was a no-brainer to not go with Justin Fields. So is it going to work out? I'm pretty confident it will, but I will tell you one thing. This has got to be the happiest day for a Bears fan since 85.
That's a different question, though. Yes, it's a happy day. I'm not so sure that this is going to work out as smoothly as everyone predicts. Let's get the thoughts of our next guest, who also is going to hook us up with all the great betting information for the first round of this draft, and that is our pal Nick Costos, the co-host of You Better You Bet, one of our absolute favorite shows. Nick, thanks so much for waking up early for us. How you doing, dude?
Yeah, you got I've been up for a long time already. I hate to say this as I come on, the first thing I say, I agree with a lot of what Perloff
said.
There you go. I have to say,
I know that's tough.
I think he's right. And by the way, most important Bears victory since the Super Bowl 20 against the Patriots, Lovie Smith and the Texans beating the Colts in that insane final game a couple years ago.
Yes.
That ended up putting this whole series of events in motion.
Funny, Lovie Smith takes the Bears to the Super Bowl. They end up losing to Peyton Manning. Then he gives back to the organization with this, and then Ryan Poles kind of had to do some things there too. Okay, so Nick Costos is here. He's going to give us some betting advice and some help. First things first, because it is a show bet here on Maggie and Perloff, how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round? Nick, Perloff has taken the over 4.5. EJ has taken the under 4.5. Whoever loses has to run wind sprints with Pete Bellotti holding the whistle. Who do you think is going to be sucking wind pretty soon?
So I will, this will be a guess. I will not say this with like extreme conviction because Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix both fit the, so Penix and Nix would be one or two guys that would go to cash this over, right? Assuming the top four are all going to go very early in the draft. Penix and Nix both fit the profile of quarterbacks that historically never go in the first round of drafts.
Right.
Like it does, it just does not happen. Guys like as old as they are, Penix with the injury history, like it just doesn't happen. But you have really respected NFL analysts putting out mock drafts, and I'll bring up two, you know, Daniel Jeremiah and Peter Schrager, that both have Penix and Nix going in the top half of round number one. So I think you've got a lot of analysts right now saying that it's likely to be six quarterbacks, but then you have all this historical data that says it's going to be four. Right now, I'll split the difference, and I'll say Penix goes in the first round and Bo Nix doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think all six are going to go. And just the thought process that some people have that, well, you can just trade up into the back end, into the end of the first round to get your quarterback for the fifth-year option, right, which is something that's been bandied about. It's something the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson a number of years ago. It turned obviously out to be a great pick. With the way that the new CBA is structured, like, that's not really how it works anymore. I think you're going to see more teams trade into the back half of the first round, like maybe into like the 20s, 25, and later for offensive tackles with how it works with the fifth-year option and how much it costs. We had Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, one of our favorite guests, come on the show this week and explain that to us, why it's unlikely for that to happen with quarterbacks now in the final like 5 to 7 picks of the first round. I'll say five quarterbacks go, not a ton of conviction.
Nick, so you mentioned mock drafts, and I know you're looking at how much you trust a mock draft piece. I think I was saying to Maggie before the segment, I haven't seen uniformity like this. Everybody's got Jaden Daniels, 2. Drake May, 3. Harrison, 4. J.C. Latham is now 5 with everybody.
Yep.
Dallas Turner has been 8 for 3 months right now to Atlanta. Do you buy a lot into that? Like, are there good odds on those picks? Because it just seems like there's just so many people are saying the same thing right now.
Well, like if you're betting, and the thing with the NFL draft that makes it different, Perloff, from betting a game, right? The game starts, anything can happen. You could bet a favorite, and the quarterback can get hurt, and then like the underdog's going to win. Look at the Heat Celtics last night, right? An example of anything can happen. Betting the NFL draft is like you have a test. You either have the answers to the test before the test is handed to you, like, or you don't. Like, you bet the draft based on information. So I really think that people should know that going into it, right? So you might think you have the answers to the test because everyone putting out a mock draft, and we talked about this on the show on Monday, Perloff. I think it's an awesome question. I'm complimenting you a lot. I don't like this. But you know, we talked about this on Monday. I've never seen, and I've been, the first NFL draft I watched was 1991, the Dan McGuire draft with Seattle. I've been watching and covering this for a really long time. I've never seen uniformity across the board like this where you could ask like a casual fan, hey, like, what's the top 10 of the draft going to be? And that person's probably going to know exactly what it is because every analyst has been saying the exact top 10 for a really long time. Just something that I would urge people to consider. I am not saying that Jaden Daniels is not going to be the second overall pick. If you put a gun to my head, a water gun to my head, make me pick, like, for my life, who's going second, I'd take Jaden Daniels. But, like, Caleb Williams is unbettable to be the first overall pick. Like, people know Caleb Williams is going first overall. That is, like, the only sure thing. Jaden Daniels is not the same price that Caleb Williams is. Mm. Now, compare and contrast this with Zach Wilson a couple years ago when Zach Wilson went second to the Jets. Like, you can think Zach Wilson stinks, whatever, and he does. He was a gigantic favorite to be the second pick to the point that it was unbettable. Like, that's not what's happening with Jaden Daniels. That's not what's happening with Drake May with the third overall pick. That's not what's happening with Marvin Harrison at number 4 overall. And like Latham's made this late charge, but I'll tell you, like I bet Latham on Monday to be the 5th overall pick in the draft. I think I know where this information is coming from, and like I don't know like how good the information is. Now, I bet it at a huge price. Now he's the favorite. I would never bet that now. Like also, if you're betting Latham to go 5, you're assuming the Chargers are making the pick. Like what happens if things break in a certain way where the Vikings trade up to 5 to take JJ McCarthy, which is certainly in the realm of possibility? What happens if the Patriots take JJ McCarthy 3rd overall, which the betting market tells you is still like a distinct possibility. So, sure, like, it can go Perloff as consensus. Also, like, things could get really nuts coming up tonight. Again, it's not like betting a game. Do you have the answers to the test before the test is given? That's how I would urge people to think about this.
Okay, Nick Costa is joining us from You Better You Bet. So, is a better strategy then to be doing the bets like how many quarterbacks will go in the first round as opposed to this person's going to go here? Are you getting better value if you're doing, like, I think so in however many offensive linemen are going, or I think the first defensive player is going in the top 8, or whatever it is, as opposed to trying to match exactly who's going where?
Well, I think like trying to match like, you know, like 5th overall pick.
Right.
Like you bet J.C. Latham to go 5, and then the Chargers trade back to 11 and take J.C. Latham at 11. Like you were right that the Chargers wanted J.C. Latham and draft J.C. Latham, but you lose your bet.
Sure.
Like, you lose because J.C. Latham does not go 5. So like there are... Yeah, I think that's a really good way to think about it, like betting a draft position, meaning like J.J. McCarthy's number right now is 5.5. And to be fair, the under on that yesterday was a much bigger favorite than it is today. And I think that's based on mock drafts that have come out. Like a couple of the mock drafters have McCarthy going like 11 to the Minnesota Vikings. This stuff is really flimsy. Like, no one has the answers right now, and people are betting based off mock drafts from people that don't know. I'm not denigrating Schrager, Jeremiah, etc. These guys talk to more people than I do. Just that, like, if they knew, they'd be right about everything all the time. Like, and they're not, and they aren't. A way that I would like to bet the draft, Maggie, I want to bet big prices. Like, if I don't know the answer, then let me bet a big price. And that's trying to, like, recognize volatility and bet into volatility.
Mm.
So I do think, despite what I said, I think Daniels is going to go second. I've had enough people say that to me where I feel not a lock, but I feel pretty good about it. So if we think it's Caleb 1, Daniels 2, so now we get to 3 with the Patriots where the draft could start to get like a little nuts, like go a little haywire, right? We know that Jonathan Kraft, like Nepo Baby, you know, Robert's son, is now involved in the process. Like, this ain't like Belichick. Belichick would have kicked his ass out of the draft room faster than you can say Tom Brady. Just saying that, like,
yeah.
Elliot Wolf, Ron's son, might not be making this pick. It might be the Crafts making the pick. What if they take J.J. McCarthy? Like, is that so insane to think that could happen? So maybe you want to do an exacta with J.J. McCarthy as the third behind Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. There's also a lot of smoke, and I buy this because I heard this like 2 months ago, that a lot of teams have Malik Nabers as their wide receiver one over Marvin Harrison. What if you put Nabers as the fourth pick in an exacta? The bet is likely to lose, like it's probably not going to go like that, but you get such a massive price that the juice could be worth the squeeze in case it goes haywire. So again, like if you don't have the answer to the test, then I think playing into volatile outcomes makes sense. Small amounts of money to win a lot of money.
Nick, there's one guy who does seem to have the answers. Jay Glazer has a history of seeming to know everything that's going to happen. He did an interview on AM 570 in LA where he said 13 feels rich for Penix. He also said the Patriots are all in on May, and he said a couple other things. The wide receiver order is sort of up in the air, 1-3. That Penix at 13, that feels like something real. Because I don't know Jay's relationship with the Raiders, but it feels like he would be all in on a Raiders team. So is he a guy who's an exception even more so than a Schrager or Jeremiah?
So Glazer doesn't report as much as those guys, like doesn't give as much, but he's almost always right to your point. And I can't remember an instance where he's wrong, and to Jay Glazer's credit, he's developed amazing relationships with a lot of people with power and influence in the league. So he's in like a little bit of a different category. So I agree with you. I actually do think like when Jay Glazer says something, not that like Schefter and Rappaport and guys like that are wrong, but like Glazer I think is like bad, like literally batting 1,000. So let's start with the Patriots point. Okay, he thinks that they're locked in on May. He might be right. I'm not saying he's wrong. Just that, again, there's like a variable introduced into the equation here, which is like an owner getting involved with things potentially here. Mm-hmm. So like May, I think, is more likely to go. The betting market tells you that. I would be a little reticent to say that, yeah, like we know for sure that Drake May is going to be the third pick. Because again, if we knew that, people would find out, people would bet it, people would blast it, and he wouldn't be like a minus 300 favorite. He'd be minus 30,000. Like you wouldn't be able to bet it. Now on Penix, I was told by someone a couple months ago, and I just want to say this, the NFL is the league where I actually do have sources. I worked at NFL radio for a decade. So like I would never come on and say this, I have NBA sources for the NBA draft. I don't. But for the NFL, I do. I was told a couple months ago that Antonio Pierce loves Michael Penix. So I think when Daniel Jeremiah's first mock came out, he had Penix to the Raiders at 13. To me, that's like he has the same information I do. And he, at that point, is probably like, I want to get ahead of this being the fit, even if it's the second round, by putting Penix in as the 13th overall pick. So I do think there's some fire to that smoke as it regards the Raiders and Penix. But something I can tell you, almost beyond a shadow of a doubt, we had Herman Edwards on our show earlier this week, the former Arizona State head coach, right, among other things. Coach Jaden Daniels there, Antonio Pierce was on his staff. He said, flat out, the Raiders want Jaden Daniels. And that corroborates a report from Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero of NFL Media that the Raiders talked to the Commanders about moving up to 2. So here's the question I don't have the answer to. We know the Raiders want Daniels. Are they willing to settle on Michael Penix as their franchise quarterback if he's not their number one option? I don't know the answer to that question. My gut tells me 13 is rich for them to take Michael Penix. Again, a player with that profile has never been selected at that point in an NFL draft.
Nick Kostos is joining us. He is the host of You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley. They do a fantastic job. We're just big, big fans. You know that's true, Nick. Okay, last one for me, and this one got people a little crazy earlier in the week. What did you make of the ESPN bet odds that all of a sudden had J.J. McCarthy as 8-1 to the Chargers, and then the Chargers' first pick as a quarterback just went to 6-1? This feels ridiculous because they obviously have Justin Herbert. So when the betting market moves like that, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think it's all like based on, again, like this stuff is based on nothing.
like it's good to remind people.
I'm being serious, and I'm not trying. It's a lot of fun to talk about, and like you can bet into this stuff. So I will say this again. The only thing that we know for sure is that Caleb Williams is going first overall. We think Jaden Daniels is going second. Like, that might not happen tonight. If we knew, it would have been bet into oblivion already, and that hasn't happened at least as of right now. So look, like, that could literally be someone someone betting J.J. McCarthy to go to the L.A. Chargers, like the betting market, like the offshore will move it because like they've taken money on it. And then people say that and go, oh, my God, like someone must know something. No, like no one knows anything. And if people did know for sure, like you wouldn't be able to bet it right now. It would be, again, bet into oblivion. So, yeah, like I don't think there's any like malfeasance from like ESPN bet. Like I don't think this is, I don't think they're trying to like trick people. I don't think that's what it is at all. Just that like these markets are really stupid, candidly. And I can give you a quick story. Ken Barkley, my co-host on You Better You Bet, has told the story that when Kevin Durant in 2016, right, before he signed with Golden State, there were betting markets up like, where's Kevin Durant going to sign?
Right.
Where's he going next? And I think Ken, and I might have the details of this wrong, I think he bet like $100 on Durant to sign with the Knicks. Maybe that's whatever. And as a result of that $100, Durant to the Knicks became a favorite. And then people are saying, oh my God, like Durant's going to the Knicks now. Like it's not, it's based on nothing. So again, I don't think any malfeasance here, just someone bet it and then people like take it and run with it when it's not based on anything.
Nick, I love you. Your level of draft nerdiness is inspiring. I just love it. But I'm looking back. Your first draft, you remember, 1991, Dan McGuire goes 16 to the Seahawks. It is the worst draft I've ever seen in my life. Can you name any of the top 10 picks of that draft off memory?
Well, the Giants took Jerod Bunch with the final pick of the first round, for sure.
Who?
Jerod Bunch, yeah. Who was?
What did he do?
He was an absolute jabroni because O.J. Anderson, I think, retired. But Rodney Hampton became like the Giants' main running back at that point. 91 is Jeff George the number one pick?
No, it's a Russell Maryland draft and a bunch of nobodies. You picked the wrong draft to jump in. Yeah, Eric Turner, Bruce Pickens, someone named Mike Crowell went number four.
Well, Mike Crowell, good linebacker with the Denver Broncos, right? Was that my right? Or Colts,
yeah.
Maybe?
No, you got it, Broncos. Todd Light and Eric Swan. Oh, my God.
Eric Swan, then the Phoenix Cardinals.
Yep. Charles McCray,
Saints,
Buccaneers. What I mean, wasn't he a basketball player out of Louisville?
this is the power of the draft. That this is the one that sucked in Costos.
Costos, you got to admit, this is a pretty awesome draft tonight. We should be fired up. I mean, you can look at that year. Remember we were at the draft, Maggie, where Eric Fisher went one and Luke Joko went number two. We were trying to make something interesting
and
out
Lane
of it.
Lane Johnson went three, and like he turned out to be the best of all.
I know. It's we have a blessing tonight, all these quarterbacks. What do you do tonight? Are you doing a live stream, or is it like, where can I watch you?
Oh, no, we're on the air until 7 o'clock. So basically, like, because, you know, like for our purposes, and look, like I feel like I could host like a really good NFL draft show while the draft's going on, but for our purposes on You Better You Bet, like everything dies at 7 o'clock. Like all the markets get pulled and that's it. And I guess like in closing, and I just wanted just an anecdote. I remember with my late grandfather, he thought Dan McGuire was going to be awesome. Literally Mark McGuire's brother. That's my memory of watching the 91 NFL draft with my grandfather at his old apartment, Gray Neck on Long Island in New York. Just something to consider for everybody. So last year on draft day, we knew Bryce Young was going to be the number one overall pick. Like, you basically couldn't bet it at this point. When we woke up last year on draft day, Will Levis was favored to be the second overall pick. Will Levis didn't go in the first round. So, again, that doesn't mean Jaden Daniels is not going. Jaden Daniels is going in the first round. And as the day went on, and Ken and I are doing the show last year from 3 to 7, as we will be today, we're noticing, right, once we get into the 6 o'clock hour. So markets are going to close. The draft is about to start. C.J. Stroud all of a sudden goes to, like, plus 150. Okay. C.J. Stroud's even money. All right. C.J. Stroud's minus 150.
Yeah.
Eyebrows raised. C.J. Stroud minus 250. Someone knows something. C.J. Stroud minus 400. People are betting like they have the answer to the test. By the time we went off the air, you couldn't bet C.J. Stroud anymore. So like you people had the answer to the test. So for people out there interested in betting the draft, I think it will be very fast. It doesn't have to play out like that. But from 6 to 7, like we'll probably start to get some clarity. You will know if like the answers have leaked before the test starts.
Nick, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Your expertise, Nick Costos, You Better You Bet. BetQL does a fantastic job. Ken Barkley moving markets. I mean, with $100 bets.
I'm pretty sure that I have that story. I think it's basically correct.
Awesome.
Wow. Okay, I didn't realize that we were one step away from such a powerful person.
But doesn't that make the whole thing seem like so stupid? Like the stuff that's based off information? Like people are literally betting like, oh, well, Jeremy Fowler on ESPN said like he thinks the Eagles like Amarius Mims, and then people bet that. He could be right. Just like, really? Like that's what people are betting on? Like that kind of stuff? Just saying.
Listen, I already told you guys that I lie to my family on the weekends just so I can make sure that I'm listening to Ken when he gives his NFL picks on Sunday mornings. I lie to my family. I tell them I'm going somewhere that I'm not going so I can be in the car just for Ken. So I get how powerful he is. But Nick, obviously, we've been caping off of your picks for years. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have fun. Enjoy the draft.
Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. And I Caleb Williams is going to be awesome. I agree.
We'll see.
Let's go.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, there you go.
Nick, why did Jeremy Fowler have to take a shot there from Nick? Jeremy Fowler, friend of the show, awesome dude. And by the way, all I heard there was, Eagles might take Amarius Mims. That's what I heard there. But it is so funny. If Ken Barkley can move a betting market, these things are so silly. Any little piece of information, and there are limits on what you can bet here, because Nick's right. Like, the information actually exists.
It will get out. I mean, but that Justin Herbert Chargers, like the rumor of Justin Herbert getting traded to the Vikings, the Chargers odds moved. I mean, we should have all realized, I think we did at the time, just how ridiculous that sounds. I mean, you could bring in dead cap money and all the other reasons why this would be so hard. But, I mean, that one was on the outskirts of crazy town.
Still hoping something like that happens. That Jim Harbaugh just says, let's go and do something. What if he trades out, gets J.J. McCarthy at 15? There's going to be so much fun stuff here.
If you took a $100 million cap hit to draft J.J. McCarthy, you should have your head examined.
You don't think Jim Harbaugh's crazy?
Oh, I
just
know
got a 15-0 tattoo. The guy's out of his mind.
He should get thrown out of the RV park for that. We will give you our bold predictions for the first round, and we'll do it next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Man, all the mocks are out now, and they're all exactly the same, Maggie. I guess this means the opposite is going to happen, but...
The mock drafts you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's so funny. The Chargers, apparently, they are so set on this guy, J.C. Latham, that they'll get him at 5 or something else. We should talk about Jim Harbaugh at some point tonight. Is there an over-under? Does he do something wacky when they show the Chargers facility? You know that Jim Harbaugh has become like that uncle who has to come to every dinner and say something funny, or he's going to disappoint everybody. This is going to be a wild scene. There's so many little things. I don't think we're going to get a Laremy Tunsil bong. I think we're going to have gas masks with marijuana, I think, which is the ultimate draft surprise. I think we're going to have so many funny things tonight. Because everyone's got a camera, everyone's doing something. You're seeing girlfriends. Apparently, Caleb Williams is painting his fingernail, his pinky fingernail, silver, along with his girlfriend to match his outfit.
Okay.
There's all sorts of shenanigans. Social media has made this all so wonderful.
I know some of these, some of the scouts are a little more the older generation wants to point at the nail polish and call that a negative. I say that's attention to detail. You're thinking about everything there. Isn't that what you want your quarterback? I mean, it's full 360. He's not just worried about the shirt and the pants.
Yeah,
he's always thinking about the accessories, too.
Yeah, and due to worry about their outfits, that's certainly a red flag.
Yeah, but this is the draft. Like, your outfit is big for everybody.
That's true. Right. This is
the one day.
This is the one day you can actually talk to your buddy about your outfit. You cannot talk to him any other day.
Wouldn't mind seeing someone walk out in some sweatpants.
They'd get roasted.
No, but the guy that's like on a fishing boat with his dad, shouldn't you be focused on the draft?
Yeah. Oh, Joe Thomas?
Yeah.
Well, he's just trying to
work
relax.
That okay for
like,
Joe.
At least be home watching. I'm like, I don't care about the draft. Pick me and pick me, I'll play.
He's trying to relax. He probably has a lot of nerves.
Joe Thomas missed the draft, never missed a snap. The whole career. Playing for the crappy Browns, never missed a snap.
But I don't know if you guys are like me. If I was a draft prospect, there is no way I would ever show up at the draft because my worst nightmare to be an Aaron Rodgers in fall.
But like, what if top 5 pick?
After Caleb Williams, I'm not going. He's the only person, maybe Marvin Harrison. After that, no, I'm not going. Why not do something cool at home with your friends and your family? Why risk being that guy? That is the worst thing you could do.
If I was a 7th-round pick, I'd be there.
You would go?
Yes, I would.
What if you don't get picked?
Who's going to know?
At least enjoy a nice 3 days in the city on the NFL.
You can't go. You can't go and root for the Giants at the draft. What are you going to do if you're not getting picked? It's super embarrassing.
Wait, this is like a free vacation.
They ain't paying for a 7th-round pick to hang out in Detroit.
That's ridiculous. They should.
No.
Also, no disrespect to Detroit. I grew up in a cold place. There's got to be a better place to be than Detroit in April.
Well, you're talking to a guy who went to the Hamptons in February. Pete's a big...
Oh, you're an off-season guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cheaper. I don't exactly have 3 more zeros at the end of my check.
So, I get it.
You know,
off-season by necessity.
Right.
You'd like to go to the Hamptons in the summer.
Oh, yeah. But
at least the spring.
You have to take out a mortgage to go there in the summer.
Yeah. That's so true. I get it. And listen, you still get... It's peaceful. I think that'd be nice.
Don't have to deal with all the... There.
Yeah, all the idiots out there that are normally there. Oh, speaking of Pete...
Yeah.
Got a DM.
Yeah.
Got a direct message. Didn't even address me by name. Just, hey. And it's someone who I love, so it's okay. Actually, not even a hey. I got a, what's the address for the show? I got a little something for Pete Bellotti Jr.
All right.
From our pal Nick in Texas. Nick in Texas, who's been one of our great listeners and friends. We've met his family. His kids are adorable.
This is a sensitive area, by the way, Maggie. You know that, right?
Wait, why? What am I?
You were off
into?
The day.
Oh, I was here for this.
Oh.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, there's more to the story. I thought this was just a genuine, I've got something for Pete.
Oh, Perloff can explain this one.
Nick updated the Maggie and Perloff bracket challenge and gave.
During the NCAA tournament.
During the NCAA tournament said, Perloff's here. Maggie's here. We were both pretty low, by the way. EJ's here. I think he gave Bogus, and then he said, and yeah, that's it for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is the comeuppance.
That's the backstory for whatever you're about to say. He forgot Pete, and Pete was not happy with our buddy Nick in Texas.
It was the day you left early, and as we went to break, I said to Perloff,
for one segment.
I said we couldn't produce it better that he left Pete's name out of that recap.
And he did include, every time he put it on social media, he included Pete's name.
I know.
So he just blanked.
Well, maybe he tried to send you the DM to get the address, but I bet are you blocking him? Not accepting DMs?
No, I don't really block anyone unless you're threatening me. But no.
There's a special place in hell for anyone who's blocking people, threatening people, Audie.
That's right. They're blocked.
Well, I sent him the address. I didn't even think twice about it. I'm like, hey, exclamation point. Nick, good to hear from you, pal.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
He's got a little something coming for you.
Yeah, right. This is a makeup gift. That's what's going on here.
I like gifts. Gifts are good.
I love Pete just saying that, like, as long as you're not Lex Luthor, you're not blocked.
Right.
If you're not Darkseid.
Well, because I can counter anybody's opinions of me. I really don't care. You know, like if they have something to say bad about me, you know what? I'm gonna come right back at you. That's it. I'll do it all. If you have something nice, I'll be very nice back to you. That's how I work.
I love that you just said, I don't care. You care about everything.
I do.
Were you mad at Nick? Were you mad at Nick when he forgot to say your name?
Yeah, yes, I am mad.
And Kaplan could also be mad, by the way.
Right.
And should be.
And Andrew Bogut, who's getting tagged in those posts, too.
And former number one overall pick Andrew Bogut, who's sitting in Australia somewhere minding his own business.
I didn't win an NBA championship to be confused by that Infinity Sports Update guy.
Bogut was actually flattered by that comparison, as I recall.
Yeah, I'd like to be taller, talented, more successful, all those things. I mean, have an accent.
Bogut was a key cog.
Yeah, and he made money no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Pete, you got something coming your way big. We've got our bold predictions for the first round of the draft coming your way, but not before this update from Bogish.
And we've got about 10 and a half hours left for all these NFL draft rumors. Colts owner Jim Irsay started one of his own earlier this week in an exclusive interview with Fox 59 in Indy. Irsay said the team wants more weapons for Anthony Richardson, so they'd love to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., especially since his dad is a Colts legend. But Indy has the 15th pick tonight. Irsay knows moving up far enough for Harrison Jr. is unlikely. But, quote, I wouldn't rule anything out. We're open-minded.
I mean, when it's coming from the owner, you feel like it has more weight. But when that owner is Jim Irsay, then all bets are off.
And he's at home, and this interview begins with him arguing against the police report about whether or not he was suffering from an overdose when the police were called to his house.
Oh, wow.
So, same interview.
Yeah, it's a weird...
That's a wide-ranging interview.
Yeah, it's an interesting witness to call into the Colts draft room here. I don't know how much how trustworthy a source he is
he
right now.
He wasn't standing in front of a Mayflower truck either, right?
Mm. Oh, boy.
I would love this. I am all for the sons of former athletes or daughters of former athletes playing for the teams that their parents play for. I think that is one of the coolest things that could happen.
To keep it going? Although it's a lot of pressure on the child.
It's a ton of pressure. But, like, I don't know. I'm all for, again, I hate nepotism in every other aspect except for pro athletes. I think that is the coolest thing. And if you could even draft the same guy that your dad played for or your mom played for, that's awesome. Like Barry Bonds being a superstar for the Giants,
yeah.
I know there's a lot that went into it, but that's one of the coolest things ever.
Wait, you really care if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Colts? You're going to be like, wow, that's exciting.
I would be so excited. That would be the coolest thing. I may be able to tell my future kid, hey, I watched his dad play for the Colts. He was also a stud.
Now
Maserati Marv is going to the 6th Pro Bowl and has won his 2nd Super Bowl with Anthony Richardson.
I don't know a single Marvin Harrison Sr. fan. I mean, the guy had a million yards, but he was the most unexciting.
Well, don't say that in Philly. Because Marvin Harrison may pull up on you and tell you he better be a fan. You're from Philly.
That's the elephant in the room, by the way. Is Marvin Harrison still get the cool? It's not Ken Griffey Sr. because Ken Griffey Sr. never allegedly shot a guy. So I don't know if this exists.
I want to say for the record, I love Marvin Harrison and he's great anywhere. And I love his son. Let that record show.
Yeah, let the transcript of the show, if it ever gets sent to Marvin Harrison. We're not talking badly about you. We're afraid of you. But here's the thing. I think about this from the parent point of view, right? You have your child already as your name and an expectation your dad's a Hall of Famer, all these things to live up to. You're going to add on top of it. He's going to play for the same franchise. Like, you're never going to get you're not going to have one day go by that you don't get asked about your dad.
No, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds moved on from it.
Yeah, but
he only has to be the greatest player ever to do it.
Was Bobby a Hall of Famer? Bobby Bonds?
No, Bobby was a star, though.
He was a star, but again, okay.
And Barry was a star as a Pirate before he went to San Francisco to play where his dad played.
Yeah, that is true.
He didn't start immediately.
Right.
But from a football perspective, shy of the price tag, why, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational player, why wouldn't they want to go get him to put him alongside Anthony Richardson?
Last name or
otherwise. I mean, that actually makes a lot of football sense.
Yeah, they should be one of the teams that's making that.
Yeah, they want to go up for the other guys, too. By the way, Marvin Harrison, I watched a couple of interviews yesterday. I don't think he cares. He's going to notice one thing or other. That guy's just like, give me a route. I'm going to go right. He has nothing to say. Just like, his dad is like famously the worst interview of all time. He's not far behind. So he's just like, give me a football. But this thing about the father and son, you know what would have been nice? Joe Bryant. His kid had come to the Sixers, former Sixer. And Kobe said no thank you to the Sixers.
Can't have it all.
You guys also booed him at the All-Star game, so that really put that kibosh on that.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think it does sound cool, but
and they're losers.
Rarely works out. Kobe grew up in Philadelphia and said no to the Sixers.
His dad was
a Sixer.
Spent a lot of time and was like, nah. Bogus, what else you got?
The Thunder now in control against the Zion-less Pelicans, a 2-0 series lead after last night's 124-92 beatdown in OKC. Chet Holmgren posted 26 points, 7 boards, and 2 blocks, then took the microphone away from Ali LaForce on TNT to shout out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I got one more thing to say. He's too humble to say it, but this is the MVP right here. MVP of the league. I'm going to say it for him because he won't say it.
They sing, they hoop, they're hype men, but SGA hated this. He did not like Chet putting any of this focus on him after the game.
Yeah, I think is he a humble guy? Who knows what he's really like, but at least publicly, he seems like a pretty humble dude outside of that terrible commercial.
I love how everybody hates that commercial.
That's not really that big of a deal. I mean, every athlete has a bad commercial here and there. I think this is a fun team to watch. The game wasn't competitive last night, but the OKC has changed my mind a little bit. You know, I thought, no way, OKC, Minnesota, these teams are too young, especially OKC, everyone's under 25. I'm starting to think a little differently here. They're real good.
Kept trying to tell y'all, Shai is different.
Man.
But don't forget, there's no Zion for the Pelicans, and apparently he's good.
Yeah,
he's really good, and that's helping the Thunder for sure. But
Showbat Thunder do not win their next round.
Against
either team,
yeah, it doesn't
matter. Next
is Mavs, Clippers.
It'd be Mavs or Clippers. Clippers. I think they'll be one. I think they'll win.
I kind of do too. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on OKC. What else you got, Bogan?
It's a different morning in Boston after the Celtics let the Jimmy Butler-less Heat into their series. Miami a 111-101 thievery in Game 2 to split in Boston. They hit a postseason franchise record 23 threes. Tyler Hero had 6 of them, scoring 24 points. Jason Tatum thinks we shouldn't think this series should be easy for his top-seeded team.
A lot of history between these two franchises, especially recently, regardless of seeding or who's in or who's out. It's the playoffs, and especially with that team, you know, it's never going to go how people expect it to go.
But you probably still shouldn't have lost at home last night. Game
they're going to lose.
Three
you
in...
think so?
That's my pick now.
This
because
series?
Because you listen to that, they are taking them totally for granted. And they're not saying, oh, yeah, no, we can't take them for granted. They are. Mm. So watch. Watching the series, they're going to go 7, and the Heat are going to win.
If the Heat win the series, I will do what Pete Bilotti didn't say, 5 nice things about the Miami Heat organization.
We might need something a little bigger than that. But here's the thing. I no doubt, though, this has to put some pressure on Boston, and they just don't handle pressure well.
Exactly.
Here's my positive
spin.
Still
only game 2, though.
Yeah.
This was game 5, I'd feel different.
This is my positive spin. Nothing has mattered for them for months. They needed a game like this to be reminded of what's at stake.
But
they've been
coasting.
They haven't. When was their last real game? A game has not mattered for them since literally maybe last year.
I don't like, though, this is 2 years in a row this happened. Last year, you're up 3-1 against Atlanta, no DeJounte Murray, and you blow a game at home. Trae Young's hitting 40-footers to send you to overtime or win that game, whatever happened there. Where's the maturity on this team? Like, you need to stomp this Miami Heat team without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
It's just there's no excuse.
And there's a mental aspect here because the Heat kind of get into your head. I don't think the Heat won this game because of Heat culture. I think that's silly. They won this game because they just started a barrage of threes that just hit. But there is a mental aspect the deeper the series goes.
I think you guys are overestimating one game. I think you're reacting to one game, which is generally a mistake in the NBA playoffs.
Well, it's early in the series.
Yeah.
Just the fact that the Heat have been able to do what they've been doing now without Butler is something, and you can't overlook it.
Yeah, Jimmy worked them in game one.
But they look what happened in game two. I mean, they're not pushovers, and they're treating it like it's still.
That Spoelstra guy can coach a little bit, by the way.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Even you can admit that.
I always admit that Spoelstra is a hell of a coach.
Jeez.
Well, I saw that the stat, 23 of their three-pointers attempted last night were considered wide open by the NBA standards.
For a team that good defensively, that is pathetic. I'm sorry. The Boston have the best defensive players in the NBA.
That was
multiple.
43 three attempts and 23 that, I don't know if it's the 23 they hit, but 23 of them were considered wide open.
Wow.
That's not good.
Porzingis, too, by the way. Ugh.
Well, what kind of meaningful games has he played in? He was hurt for some of the Dallas
run. He had a great year this year.
What was he last night?
He was terrible awful last night.
Like 1-for-10 or something?
Yeah, I think he's 1-for-8 that he finished last night. He was awful last night. He's had a great year.
1-for-9.
Yeah, 1-for-9. I mean.
Well, how can he be 7-4 and 1-for-9, Maggie?
Well, we take 30-footers all the time. Sometimes that's what happens.
Yes, more.
Perloff's a Bruins fan this morning since he found out that Brad Marchand is still on the team. Marchand scoring Boston's final 2 goals for a 4-2 win in Toronto and a 2-1 series lead. Now, the Bees' second goal was scored right after Marchand wasn't called for a trip. So here comes Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe.
I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking up Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. It's an art. And he's elite at it.
Top.
I like it. Working the refs a little bit for the next game. Be on the lookout for that.
Top seeded Dallas in an 0-2 hole after a 3-1 home loss to Vegas. And the Kings got a split in Edmonton, 5-4 in overtime. The winner from Anjay Kopitar. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we're going to get 2 things accomplished in the next segment. One, we will do the bold predictions for the first round of tonight's draft. We will also give you the GM and front office, the team on the hot seat. We will do both of those things next. Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Okay, lots to do here, so let's waste no time. Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you this morning. We've got bold predictions for the first round of the NFL draft, which gets underway soon, and we've got front offices on the hot seat. So, Perloff, give me your bold prediction for tonight in the first round.
Okay, I don't know how bold this is, but I have one draft riser who I love, and I want my team to get him. I think everybody else is thinking the same thing. Iowa cornerback / safety Cooper DeJean is going to be a star. Everybody's talking to offense in this draft. Every team I could think of needs a good cornerback / safety / nickel. And this guy, I mean, I'll admit it, he has this sick highlight of him dunking a basketball. And he said he could be Caitlin Clark in one-on-one. I just think everything, he's the guy to me that is coming out of this draft and is going to be an instant addition to a contender. I think he goes way higher than people think, like in the high teens, and going to be really good.
My bold prediction for tonight, I think we're getting another wide receiver traded, a la A.J. Brown. I do think Ayuk might get moved tonight.
Okay.
I think a T. Higgins could get moved tonight. There was some reporting about him requesting a trade, although we couldn't tell if it was a new request or if he was just getting lumped in with Trey Hendricks, who also requested a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday. But I do think we are getting that wide receiver moving tonight or in this draft, but tonight.
That'd be super cool.
That'd be fun. So that's what I'm hoping for in terms of bold predictions. As for GM front office on the hot seat, who do you have?
You know, this has got to be the Vikings. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, huge draft here because they have Sam Darnold at quarterback right now. They got to get the quarterback. They have just much more to do than any other team. They have the 11 pick and the 23 pick. If they screw this up, they have no chance to contend in this really brutal division with a lot of young quarterbacks. It's going to have Caleb Williams, going to have Jordan Love, and just have this juggernaut offensively in Detroit. They got to get this right or they risk real irrelevance. And Diana Rossini reported that he's the one GM most on the hot seat.
Interesting.
We go faster. They do not love him there. So it's a big one for him, and I'm very curious what the Vikings do.
Okay, as for my GM on the hot seat, I think everyone in New England, this is all a trial basis. I know Jonathan Kraft, the son of Robert Kraft, is reportedly going to be involved in this pick, but if I'm Elliott Wolf, who hasn't even gotten the official GM tag yet, even if I'm Gerard Mayo, I think all of this is everyone's on shaky ground because you are replacing someone who's been in your building and you've been doing it one way for the last 20 years. And it's very rare that the next person comes in and just starts hitting bombs right off the bat. So if this doesn't work out well for the Patriots, something goes sideways there, I think the front office gets blamed. And I think they're going to have to cycle through a couple people before they maybe find the right successor to Belichick.
God, I'm all in on Elliott Wolf. I read this thing the other day that he tried to talk Belichick out of his last three picks. And that he found he has this list of superstars that he picked through the years. He's supposed to have also a photographic memory. I'm all about Elliott Wolf.
Wow, you're buying some major Elliott Wolf.
I love that dude.
Slant.
There's one, I got to find this story. Basically, Belichick's like, I'm going to draft this guy. Elliott's like, you do not want to draft this guy. You want to draft this guy. Elliott was right.
Yeah.
Somebody's put it out like PR on Elliott Wolf. Yeah.
I would love to know how that story actually went. How did that interaction actually go? Did he really say, no, Bill Belichick, you should not be drafting that person? You're wrong, because I doubt it.
Elliott Wolf's made. Elliott, it's easy to imagine someone going up to Bill Belichick saying, I don't think you should draft N'Keal Harry. I think everybody probably said that. But Belichick, he's had four bad drafts in a row. So I don't think correcting Bill Belichick's a genius move. It just feels like Elliott Wolf has been born to be a GM. His dad was a famous GM. He's been on every good team. I'm a little more bullish on this. What do you think they do, by the way? What's your guess at New England at number three?
Easy. I think they stay. I think this has all been smoke screens, and I think they're taking Drake May because I think 1, 2, 3, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, although I would think they could be the most interesting team if they trade from 3 to 6 with the Giants. Giants get up Drake May. They get J.J. McCarthy at 6. I could imagine your face the next day. You'd be like, what are the Patriots doing?
Well, you know, I'm not as high on J.J. McCarthy as some others. Quickly, Nolan is in Indianapolis. You are on Maggie and Perloff. Hey, Nolan. Nolan. Goodbye. Nolan wanted to talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Indianapolis Colts, following in the footsteps of his father, who put together Hall of Fame career for the Colts. But we'll never know what he wants.
How about Brock Bowers for the Colts? That's a popular mock draft. That's pretty good because Anthony Richardson could use a tight end. That nobody talks about the Colts because Anthony was out all last year.
Yeah.
But that's a really interesting spot. If they got Marvin Harrison Jr., that's another AFC South team I'm all in. I love that division now.
And tight ends going higher and higher and higher in the draft these days. Let's update our final poll questions here because we are asking you today, we put on Maggie and Pearl, will the Bears drafting Caleb Williams, is this going to work? 56% saying no, not going to work.
Hmm.
Which is interesting because he's the guy being touted as the generational guy. He's the cleanest of the prospects, right? I mean, Jaden Daniels has a lot of good tape as well, but Caleb has more of it.
Sure.
And I think you look at the Bears and what they've put around Caleb already, you could think, well, he's going into a better spot than most number one overall picks who are going to a two-win team or a one-win team. He doesn't have to dig them out of the basement fully. But I'm kind of with some of the skeptics. It never goes as perfectly as we think it's going to go, Perloff.
Yeah, unless it does. You know, sometimes it goes better than we think it's going to be, like C.J. Stroud last year. So I just think, like, if you're going to look at a sure thing in an NFL draft, this guy is as close as you've had. You know, you don't get a lot of these. Last year, no one thought Bryce Young was a sure thing. You said he's way too short to be an NFL quarterback. You're right. So I don't see the flaw with Caleb Williams.
Thank you so much to E.J. Stewart, to Pete Pilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Be looking out later. We're going to be doing some fun draft stuff tonight. So we will keep you updated on all the latest on our social channels, at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere you are, we are.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.